Dewan.
Hey, Pastor.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm great, Pastor. How are you?
Oh, I'm super wonderful. Dewan, thank you for asking.
Good to hear, Pastor. Yes.
Yeah, what's your day like been like? What's your week been like?
Very well. Yes, been very, very good. Yes.
Yeah.
I got through everything I needed to get through. Got home, pretty much dinner and a little bit too, Pastor. Yep.
You got everything you needed to do done?
Yeah, I did. Yes.
Is that what you were saying?
Yes, Pastor. Yep.
Yes. Good. Did you visit with family this week, last week? I know you read Mark. You don't even have to tell me. I know you like Mr. Mark.
Yeah, you probably. Yep.
Yep. So you had some Mark experience and what else?
Just up here, keep motivated, Pastor. Yeah.
Keeping you motivated. Praise the Lord. Good. Yeah. Hey, Lachie, God bless you.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Very good, Lachie. Yes.
Going good.
Yes. Yeah, we're wonderful here. Who else do we have that just called us? Chicago Zone. Or we should say Chicago's own. Right? We've got Sister Hawanda, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Sister Hawanda.
God bless you. How are you?
God bless. Great. Blessed, highly favored, all that good stuff.
Come on, talk to us.
My God, hallelujah.
Yes.
Sir, hallelujah.
Brother Arnold, God bless you. Thanks for joining.
God bless you. Amen.
Amen. You worked hard today?
I'm in charge today. I'm actually at this blood bank place, so my conversation do got to be limited to other people. But I'm here, though, in the spirit with you, God.
All right, praise the Lord. Thank you for being here. Let's go around the room real quick while we wait a few minutes for people to join us. Let me start with Lati. Lati, how's your week? How have you been? We hadn't had you in meetings for a couple of weeks. I know that you were, I think your mom said that you were, I think she said you were sick or you were dealing with something, but how's everything going?
Yeah, I was sick for a little bit, and then, and I just want to say, too, just on the side, thank you all for the prayers for when I had to go get the baby checked out, everything is good, the baby's healthy, so I really appreciate all you guys'
Hallelujah.
Prayers. Taking it day by day, reading the Bible and stuff like that, and, just getting the word and just continuing to grow, and God is just continuing, to answer my prayers and give me more understanding from prayers I've asked, from a while ago. And now is, when he gives you those revelations, he gives you those, that insight, and things, it helps you understand more, and it just increases your faith and, your drive to learn more about him. So that's what's been going on for me.
That's beautiful. What have you been studying?
Just learning about Paul and just understanding, one of my big struggles is, thinking that, I have to, do all this work and do everything within my power to, try to make it, keep myself on the path with God, and just realizing that's not it. I really got to just really learn how to let go and let God is, what I've been learning.
Ooh, hallelujah. So,
yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. That's probably, I don't know how everybody else feels, but I think that certainly is one of the most powerful revelations to get. And the revelation is not that God will do it. I think we all know that. I think the revelation comes when we start realizing I don't have to know how God is going to do it. So I don't have to overreact to every circumstance thinking I have to do something to get him to do it. Does that make sense?
Ooh, yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, because I do believe that sometimes we get caught up like that, especially when we're just trying to be pleasing to God. We just, you know, whenever something seems like it's going wrong, we sort of kind of check ourselves, right? What am I doing wrong, God? And what if we're not doing anything wrong?
Yeah.
And what if it's just a delay? What if it's just, you know, I caught myself in prayer the other morning, and I was praying and talking to the Lord about, you know, what I generally do, the church, you know, the people of God, my family, you know, my family members, the people that I know have touched my life in my lifetime, because I know they all need prayer. And I was, you know, and I was asking, you know, I'm hoping you'll get to it quick. And when I said the word quick, the word came back to me and hit me like a brick in the head. Mm-hmm. And because it was like, I realized that I'm asking him to bypass all the folks that's dying of starvation. I realized when I'm asking him to move when I want him to move, I'm asking him to get past all the folks on their sick beds and their beds of affliction. Mm-hmm. I'm asking him to put me at the top of his miracle list, not realizing sometimes that there's a lot of folks ahead of me. Does that make sense?
Yes,
and it hit me, and I said, oh, I'm so sorry, because the worst thing I think I could ever end up being, and I don't want to ever be, is a selfish Christian. A selfish person that thinks God has got to attend to my every need and just bypass everybody else's, even though I know he's multiplistic, I know he's omniscient, and he's certainly omnipresent and omnipotent. He's in all places at all at the same time, but that doesn't always mean it's my time.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? And so I'm glad that you said what you said, because a lot of times I think that's why the Bible says they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, which also implies that there's going to be some times when my strength is gone. If it's got to be renewed, I had to have lost it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles.
Yeah.
Right.
Solid.
They shall run and not get weary. They'll walk and not faint. But it tells you there's some times that you're running and you're weary. There's some times that you're walking and you're ready to faint. And it's okay. I just have to wait. Praise the Lord. And so, you know, I think that's just good, sound spiritual philosophy. Mm-hmm. I just need to know he's going to do it. I don't need to know how soon, how fast, how he's going to, when he's going to. I just trust him that he will. And I think that becomes the strength in itself. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Sister Angela, God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Hello. Love being here.
Hello.
I said, I love being here. Thank you.
Amen and amen. I think we have, it's 5:37. I think we're going to go ahead and open up in prayer. I'd like to get started at 5:40. So we can try to finish up on time, because we rarely do. But the Holy Ghost has just got a way of keeping us engaged sometimes. We don't even know the time went by. And so we go check our clock and go, man, I've been on Bible study for 2 months. The whole 2 months went by. Christmas came and left. And I was still on Bible study. Didn't even notice it. What happened? Right? So let's go ahead and open up in prayer. We're going to be in the book of 2 Corinthians, and I think we left off, we did chapter 2. We're going to chapter 3, and is that correct? We did chapter 2 last week. We're in chapter 3. Correct?
Yes, mm-hmm. sir.
And I think there's a theme for chapter 3.
2 Corinthians.
And there's a theme for 2 Corinthians that I'm going to, for chapter 4. As I was browsing through it, so I can, you know, just let the Lord speak to me before we start Bible study. Mm-hmm. What is it that you need to come out of this? And he gave me a theme. And the theme is, remember the old movie, Back to the Future?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be our theme. I want you to think in terms of back to the future as we get ready to go through this. So I'm going to ask Sister Angela, if you would be kind enough to open us up. And Sister Hawanda, you will be closing us tonight, if you don't mind.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hold on. I've been eating sunflower seeds. Hold on. Okay. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. Father God, I thank you for waking us all clothed in our right mind, Father God. And us having the activity of our limbs, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, I ask you tonight to go and just touch each and every one of us in our hearts, Father God. Father God, let us hear your word, Father God. Let us eat mightily tonight, Father God. For the sign of the times is phenomenal right now, Father God. So, Father God, we need to hear a word from you. We need to hear some encouragement, Father God, some comfort. Father God, just let all these words just fall on good soil, Father God. Let it cut through our bone marrow, Father God. Let it change us, Father God. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, I pray, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Everybody awake tonight?
Yes.
Ain't none of us dead. Remember that? We're not dead Christians. We ain't into deadness. we ain't trying to be dead here. I know we all got some stuff we're dealing with, but amen, when you get ready to come before the throne of grace and mercy, you ought to wake up, get lively, and be grateful and thankful. So there's a lot of folks that need a word in season, and they ain't nowhere near anybody to give them one. But you are in the right place at the right time. Praise the Lord. So chapter 4, right?
Amen.
Second Corinthians.
Four.
I'm sorry, chapter 3.
Yes, sir.
Is it chapter 3? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, chapter 3, praise the Lord. 3, the spiritual number of perfection in the Spirit. 3, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. 3, right? Does anyone want to read?
I'll read.
All right. Please proceed. Let's
you
see
want
how
me
many,
to King James or NIV?
I would prefer the King James. And if we need to reference anything, we'll go back to the NIV.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Because he's using commend ourselves and words like that. Let's do the NIV, because I think that's going to be a clearer explanation. Chapter 3, verse 1.
Okay. So are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the results of our ministry, when not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tables of stone, but on tables of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Now that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory through it was. Will not the ministry of the Spirit even be more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is in the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's deep. Therefore, since we have a such hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. I'm sorry. Okay.
Back to the now future. Go ahead.
Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Ooh, now, that's hefty.
Is that hefty?
That's really hefty.
Now, let's talk about it. What is Paul saying? Yeah, what is Paul saying? And I said the theme is back to the future. And you'll catch a couple of things in here that are very, very important. First thing you'll catch in this is verse 15. It says, but even unto this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil goes right back on people's minds. And if you recall, I have shared several thousand times in the church that most churches are in the old covenant. They're under the Old Testament and old covenant and don't even know that they're doing it. Go ahead.
So the veil, to my understanding from when I studied the Bible, is it prevents you from totally understanding it. People who I read where people who are not in the body of Christ, we talked about this one time, Dad, where they have the veil over their mind. Back in the day when babies were born, you would hear the old folks say, my baby was born with a veil over his face. You know, that's a special baby. That's a special baby. But what it was something that came from the Word of God, because people have veils over their minds. And once they come into understanding of Christ and they're saved and they're born again, that God removes that veil. So now you can start studying the Word of God and start really seeing the mysteries and going deep.
Okay.
Because you and me talked about that one time.
So let's do this. I want everybody to go to Numbers, the 18th chapter. Go to Numbers, the 18th chapter. Let's get a deep, and let's do a deep dive into that concept that
Numbers
Paul
what?
Is ministering. Numbers? Book of Numbers.
Uh-huh.
18th chapter.
Okay.
21st verse, I believe it'll be.
The 21st chapter?
Mm-hmm. Let's deep dive. Amen. Numbers. Praise the Lord. Everybody got it?
Wait a minute. Numbers 18 and 21?
Mm-hmm. Numbers 18 chapter. You got it. All right. Yep. So let's talk about what it says. Watch this. I guess I'll read it. 18:21. Listen at this. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all of the tenth of Israel for an inheritance. See that? For their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither, verse 22, must the children of Israel henceforth come even near the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. Verse 23, but the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle, the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations that among the children of Israel, they have no inheritance. And he goes on to talk about tithing, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore, I have said unto them among the children of Israel that they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, right? So in the Old Testament, there was a veil in the temple. The veil hung about center mass in the temple. When the people came in to worship, they came into the front end of the veil. If they went behind that veil, which belonged to the Levitical priesthood, they would die. They could not enter into the most holy of holy places. That's the Old Testament. They could not enter into the most holy. The Levitical priesthood was specifically set out to take tithe, offering, and sacrifice. Tithe, offering, sacrifice. They would take it behind the temple curtain. They had what was called the mercy seat. Everybody heard of that, right? The mercy seat. Mm-hmm. And they would take the tithe, the offering, and the sacrifice.
I haven't heard about the mercy seat. What is that?
We'll talk about that in a second. And they would go into the mercy seat, which was the place that they were petitioning God for mercy for the sins that had been committed. And they would make the sacrifice, whether it was a turtle dove, whether it was a lamb, whether it was a bull, whether it was an oxen, whatever that sin and the measurement of that sin was necessary to relieve the sin off the person that did it, they had to take it to the high priest. And only the high priest could come into the presence of the most holy, because behind the veil is where they kept the Ark of the Covenant. Those stones, the Ten Commandments. Inside of the Ark of the Covenant is where the Ten Commandments were placed. God gave them to Moses, Mount Ararat, gives them to Moses. Moses then takes the Ten Commandments, puts them into a holy vessel called the Ark of the Covenant. We have a miniature of that in our church, in the sanctuary, because I know a lot of people don't know what it is. And so that's why we have it sitting there, to make them curious. So they'll go, well, what is that for? Right. Mm-hmm. And so the Ark of the Covenant had to be carried by the most holiest of the holy priests, Aaron and three others. And they would have a stick going through it. And there could be two people in the front, two people in the back. And the Ark was made of gold, and the Ten Commandments set in the Ark. Everybody got that?
Yes, sir.
And the Ark set inside of the back of the temple, because that was the very presence of God, so they could carry with them, no matter whether they were on the go in Exodus, no matter where they were on the run from, and what they were on the run from, they could carry the temple or the Ark, and the Ark would invoke the presence of God into that particular temple. When they got to a stationary place in Jerusalem, right, after God brought them into the land of milk and honey, the land that they were going to possess, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so forth and so on, and he kept promising them, this is the land that I'm going to give you to possess, which was the land of Canaan, which became Jerusalem. Right? After they got into that place, then David attempted to build an actual physical temple. Before that time, they traveled with a tent in with which they had service. It was a tent, and they carried the tent. The tent was the church, and wherever they landed, they put up the tent. They put in the Ark and behind the veil, and that Ark was the place that God's Spirit would be, and then the people could come in the front, make their petitions, make their prayers, and the high priests were in the back petitioning God over the mercy seat. God give them mercy over this and sacrifices and so forth and so on. Everybody got that?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
So the temple had a veil in it. Once they built the permanent temple, which God did not let David build because he told David, you have too much blood on your hands. So only his son Solomon, whose name comes from the word Shalom men, which means he was a man of peace. And because Solomon was a man of peace, God allowed Solomon to build the temple that David wanted to build, but God wouldn't allow to build because it was too dirty in blood. Too many wars, too many killings, and all of them were not just killing. Some of them were killing unjustly. Everybody got it?
Mm-hmm.
So there was a temple, there was a veil. So now, let's go find out. And I can take you to the places to show you where that is, but now let me show you what happens so you get why Paul is saying these things. Now go to Matthew 27:51. Juan, you okay, buddy? You breathing hard. Not anymore, though, huh? All right. Matthew, let me know when you have it. Say amen.
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 Matthew 27.
Y'all took my brother, the one that went to sleep.
I think he did too. I'll just mute him.
I'm awake.
Oh, all right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Don't y'all cut me off. Praise the Lord. I'm here to stay. Don't play. Right, so watch this. Matthew 27. Everybody ready? We're not going to start at 51, though, because you need to see what leads up to this. Right? Let's start at verse 27. We're going to have a little bit of reading on this, so I want everybody to listen to it pretty well, please. Here we go. Ready? You ready? Because when you get through with this, you're going to have a revelation. Back to the future. Don't go back to the future. You can't go back to get to the future. You'll get it. I'm going to start in verse 27, so we see this process. Verse 27. Here we go. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him. They put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put that upon his head. And they put a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail to the King of Jews." Then they spit on him. They took the reed and they beat him on the head. And after that, they had mocked him. They took the robe off from him and put his own clothing back on him and led him away just to crucify him. And as they came out, they found the man of Cyrene. This is important. I want you everybody to listen to this. They found a man, a Cyrene, by the name of Simon. Him they compelled to bear his cross. Everybody see that?
Sure.
Come on, I need y'all to be ready. Be alive in the spirit, because you can hear something that you ain't never heard. You can hear something you ain't never heard, but you've been living for a long time and never understood. Glory to God. And I hope and pray that you receive it, just as I read about it, studied it, and realized, oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
Right? Jesus is on his way to his final day. They are beating him. They're kicking him. They're stuffing him. They are misusing. They're mocking him. They put a crown on his head. They tell him, yeah, you king of this now. They sat back and mocked him and made him look completely foolish, ridiculous. They've used him. They've oppressed him. They've done all the things that they've done to people like us. You got to catch this. And on his way to his final destination, the cross, the hill on Calvary, the one that everybody talks Calvary. They even named churches after Calvary Gospel, Calvary Baptist, Calvary Apostolic. Mm-hmm. They named it after that hill because they understand the pain, the torture that Jesus has went through and he's getting ready to go through. And then on the way there, the soldiers identify a man sitting in the audience in the line waiting for them to take the Messiah to crucify him. And they called on a man by the name of Silas. Everybody see that?
Yes, sir.
You take his cross and bear it. Cyrene, verse 32, and they came out, they found the man, Cyrene Simon by name, and they compelled to bear his cross. Here's the part that very few people ever study and rarely even find out. The people of Cyrene were black Greeks.
Yep.
So what they selected was a black man to carry his burden.
Yep.
You ain't caught it yet, huh? Mm. You ain't received it yet, huh?
Yes, I guess.
And
we have been carrying the burden of the gospel. I ain't talking about the burden of religion. I'm talking about the burden of the gospel, the burden of mercy, the burden of grace, the burden of love, the burden of truth, the burden of hope, the burden of wishing things would be better, because we have carried the cross for so long, most of us don't realize that's why you've been oppressed.
Ooh, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I wish I could teach you all something. I really wish you wanted to know the truth.
No, that's
I really do. They picked out of all the people standing around. You've got the Italians, you've got Greeks, you've got folks from Asia, you've got folks from all over the world over in this area. Why? Because this is Rome. Rome is today's was yesterday, back to the future. Rome was yesterday's today. Rome was just like America. Today, America is just Rome on a whole different level and in a different time, with a lot more technology and a lot more knowledge about persecution, oppression, trickery, and malevolence and evil. Rome, if you go back to the past, was just Babylon. It's the same stuff, because it was what Daniel predicted in the book of Daniel, the 11th chapter, when he told Nebuchadnezzar, four kingdoms are going to come out of your loins. Four kingdoms. And America is the fourth and the final kingdom. Everybody got it?
There.
And so this man is standing on the side of the road. There, all of these different cultures and people, Caucasian, Hispanic, everybody's there. There's some Japanese folks there. It's Rome. It's the trading center of the world.
Amen.
It is the trading center of the world. It is America of its day. So if you look out your window and you see two blocks or two doors down, there's a Chinese family. Four doors down, there's an African family. Six doors down, there's a Spanish family. Eight doors down, there's a Caucasian family. Six blocks back, there's a whole group of nothing but Caucasians. Three blocks over, there's a small little pocket of black folks. And of all those people, when Jesus is coming out to be crucified, after they beat him down, there's this one man that they pinpoint and call out and say, carry the cross for him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And if you look at today's church, let me take you back. We'll take you back to a gentleman who was considered one of the most avant-garde, sincere men of God that showed up during the World War II era, right? World War II. And he was that guy who was like a Smith Wigglesworth of his time. If you know who Smith Wigglesworth is, you know Smith Wigglesworth was an English guy who had been so anointed that literally they documented how many people got cured of cancer when they would come to his service. 80% of his service, he spoke in tongues. He didn't even speak in English. He would speak in tongues. There was a woman, and this is documented. Go look up Smith Wigglesworth. This is documented. There was a woman who came, had cancer of the throat, and Smith Wigglesworth told her to come up to the altar. He spoke in tongues. He gave her a piece of meat and said, eat it. When she couldn't eat it, he said, eat it. And then when she wouldn't eat it, he punched her. And the minute he punched her, the meat then went down her throat and the cancer was gone.
Yeah. And Catherine Coleman, too. She's a general of the faith.
Wow, that's deep. And that's a true story, though.
The man that I'm talking about, there was so much similar to him. And I forget his name. I'll get it for you before the service is over or before the Bible study is over. This man said this: of all of the churches I've been in, from Germany to Europe to England to America, he said, when I get to America, I'll only go to a black church, because it's in the black church that I've seen the Spirit move in the way that it's supposed to move. He said the Catholic Church is too intellectual and they got
I believe that. I believe that.
They can articulate a great, beautiful, wonderful message.
Hold on for a second. He said they can articulate a great, beautiful, wonderful message. He said, but when I go to America where all the black folks are, I go to the black church, because it says there I get the message and I see the Spirit move.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Pastor. Y'all didn't hear none of that, did you? Did you hear that?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
I heard it and I
so
believe
it. It has been our culture that carries the deepest burden of the cross of Christ. I don't know if you get it, because that's why if you didn't get it, you'd understand why you go through so much hell. If you did get it, you'd understand why things ain't so easy for you. If you really got it, you'd understand why sometimes life seems like it's such a big problem, because the burden of being a believer.
Woo! Come on, mercy, mercy.
The people he chose to carry the cross. carry his Bible. They didn't tell him to tarry and wait on the Holy Ghost. They picked out this black man, Simon. You carry his cross.
So what you're saying, that's the connection between the suffering of our people, was because we took half of that burden when we helped Jesus. But when he killed Jesus, kept crossing.
Hallelujah.
Or
who
is
do
that
you
even
think
why we always got,
when he said, huh?
Or is that even why we always got black and black crime when we don't like
you?
That
is,
so
no,
much?
Not the crime part. Let me show you. Because, and here, the reason that the crime exists, the reason that, because we have a curse on our culture, because they won't come back to their God.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Perfect.
Distraction.
Perfect. Most cultures have problems in their community. We got curses. We don't have problems. Mm-hmm. We got curses in our community. They deep. Literally. They run deep. They run real deep. We stay ignorant because we won't come back to God. We don't get articulate, smart, or wise unless we go get an education at the UW, or we come back to the cross. Wait a minute, did I say that? I did say it. We have to come back to the cross that we were forced to carry.
Hallelujah.
I wish you'd get it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And why do you think Satan challenges you so much now that you came back to the cross? When you were out there doing not so smart stuff, it didn't seem so difficult, did it? It seemed to come pretty easily. it seemed to, some of it even worked every once in a blue moon, and you felt like there was progress. But then I come to the cross. Then I turn around and come back to the church. And all of a sudden, things are prospering, but it's so difficult to get it done. Because the burden of the cross requires the anointing of the cross, and the anointing of the cross requires the disappointing in the life. I have to be disappointed to be anointed. I have to go through trouble to be anointed. I have to go through trials to be anointed. I have to, well, let me put it a different way. If I don't have the trial, I won't have the testimony. If I don't have the mess, I never get a message. If I don't get the trickery, I never get the trigger. Nothing ever rebounds. I don't ever get how to come out. I start living under the burden of the curse instead of the breakthrough.
Amen.
The grace.
Freedom, come on. Woo. Hallelujah.
Tyrene, so let's get back to the veil so we get this, and I want you to see it. Right, here we go. Everybody ready? Verse 30 again, they spat on him. They took the reed. They beat him on the head. And after that, they mocked him. They took the robe off from in front of him. They put on his raiment. They took his. They took the nice clothing off and put the raggediest clothing on him. And they, why do you think we have such a big issue with clothes? Anyway. And put the
come on, back to the future.
Hey, you can find the brokenest black person on the planet, but they will have some nice clothes on for some reason. And they put on his raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were gone, when they would come unto a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, verse 34, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and they parted his garments. Follow where I'm going. They cast lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet in the old days, that they even parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast dice. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is the King of the Jews." Then were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another was on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads at him. You know how some of them sisters get when they when you done hit a nerve and you know that thing? They were wagging their heads at him. Come on now, right? Wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyed the temple and builded it back in 3 days, save yourself, brother. If thou be the Son of God, come on down from that cross." Likewise, also the chief priests, the religious folks of their days. That's why you have to be careful in religion, because there's some churches, anyway. The chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he was the King of Israel, let him now come down from that cross, and then we'll believe who he is." Ain't it funny that you go into a church, you anointed, you gifted, you want to go serve God, and folks don't believe you know what you're doing? They won't trust you to do nothing in the church. They won't give you.
No. Amen.
That's why you got to wake up back to the future. Woo. If you keep staying in the past, you're going to stay in religion. You ain't going to never find the relationship that God has for you. Why do you think New Covenant Church of Christ allows people, get on up here and speak. Get on up here and pray. Get on up here and sing. Get on up here, because you need to go into the future and quit living back in. The religious past of what they know. Watch where he goes. Come down from the cross. He trusted in God. Let him deliver. Verse 43. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, "I am the Son of God." Verse 44. The thieves also were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth, I'm not sure what they mean by in his teeth. But now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. See, when God, when somebody, you know that scripture that says, touch not mine anointed, do my prophet no harm?
Yes,
you
sir.
Don't, I wish we would wake up, because we so busy trying to pay some folk back for what they say, what they do. You never realize that every time they say and do against you, it gets dark in their life. That's why you don't want to be the culprit that brings the darkness, because if you bring the darkness, you cancel the light God put in you, and you make the darkness of the enemy show up, and it overshadows you, and then folk don't see no more in you than they see in the next idiot out in the street. Anyhow. Verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. He spoke in tongues. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 47, some of them that stood there, when they heard this, said, this man is calling for the old prophet Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether some prophet that's dead is going to come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil in the temple ripped. Come on, somebody. The separation of the Old Testament. And the way things have been done. And the way the future was set.
Come on.
Has now been changed. And so anytime you go back up under the veil of religion, you went back for your future instead of forward.
Come on.
Anytime we become so, as some folks used to say, anytime we become so religiously structured and indoctrinated that we're judging the world instead of serving it, you went back from your future. Anytime you think you're better than anybody else because you have Jesus Christ, you went back.
Amen.
To the future.
Yes, come on.
When you measure yourself, thank you, honey. When you measure yourself by yourself, and I don't mean by yourself meaning I'm alone, because that's meditation. That's what we're supposed to do. The Bible says examine yourself. But when you measure where you are based upon who you think you are, you went back to the future.
Amen.
Because we are to measure ourselves by the blood and what it's capable of doing. I'm not to measure me by my mistakes and what I'm not capable of yet doing.
Come on.
Amen.
That's why he talks about the behold yourself. Please hear me, as in a mirror. Behold yourself as in a mirror, looking at yourself and being changed from glory to glory.
Huh.
My story ain't about who I was. That's my testimony. My story is about who I'm becoming. That's my truth.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I ain't quite what I want to be, but I'm so far away from who I used to be. Some folk can't even identify me when they see me no more. I don't even look the same. I don't feel the same. I don't talk the same. I don't walk the same. I ain't trying to be hippy dip, the ladies' pimp. I ain't trying to be sweet Charlotte, the man's delight no more. What I'm trying to be is in the image of the glory that I see in the mirror, that I ain't there yet, but I'm on my way. And every time I go to the mirror, I see somebody better today than I saw yesterday. And I feel a little bit better about my walk. And I feel a little stronger in my talk. And I'm willing to let go of some anybody, because the veil is ripped.
Hallelujah.
Now let's go talk about what Paul is saying. Go back now and look at what he said in 2 Corinthians. And I'm passionate about this because, oh God, I'm so grateful for what God has done. You can't begin to understand.
Hallelujah.
You can't begin to understand how much transitioning I've seen in my lifetime from the person I was to the person that God has allowed me to become. It's a transition. And in the transition, I have joy because I know what I could be. And I know how easy it is to be that. It's real simple. I feel like I'm a million miles away from where I was, but I know I'm only one thought away from where I can go, because I now know it ain't really about my walk. It's the change, because it's become about my thought, and my thought process is what's keeping me. It ain't got nothing to do with how many days I went to church. It ain't got nothing to do with how many times I got on my knees and prayed. It's got something to do with the mind of Christ that won't let me think the way I used to. It don't let me act how I used to. It won't let me function like I used to. Even if I want to lie, I get this feeling on the inside. I hope I get somebody to come with me today. I get this feeling on the inside that even though I want to lie, there's a conviction that hits me before the lie can get out my mouth good. And I got to go, hold on. Let me go find another way to talk, because this ain't going to work for me no more. And it ain't in all of my prayer. That's my way of telling God, thank you. So let's go back and read Paul. Everybody ready?
Yes, sir.
So he says, when he gave up, the veil was ripped. Now, what was Paul saying in 3? Let's read it again. Do we begin first? And you will hear some things today that should bless your heart for the rest of your life. If you don't see them, I don't know how you feel about your church leaders. That's myself, my wife, the people that you come in and fellowship. But I don't know how you feel about all that. But if you don't carry this with you for the rest of your life, you will have devalued me as a man that God sent to raise his people up. This will devalue you if you don't get this. Here's what it says. Do we begin again to commend ourselves?
For the record, I feel good about
myself. Am I patting myself on the back? He says, need we in some other epistles, well, listen to this, or do we need, like some other people, letters, epistles or letters? Everybody with me? Verse 1, please read this. Look at it as I'm reading it, and I'm reading it in a way you can get it. Should we begin again by sitting back and convincing you that we're anointed, commending ourselves? Or need we, like some of the other folks that come around you, are we going to need letters of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you?
Come on.
You ready to find out what this means? You want to hear what that means?
Yes, sir.
I just said it a million times. And some people hear it. And some people don't. He just said to that church, are you telling me I need to go and get a letter? I got to go and get ordained by somebody now to come preach to you?
Right. Come on.
Y'all didn't hear it, did you?
Yes,
are you telling me?
Yes, sir.
After all I've done, and you've seen your change, you've seen how the glory of God has shown up in your life, and now you want me to come, and I need to have my letter saying that I'm Reverend Dr. So and so.
Come on.
I now need your permission. Everybody get this? Maybe you can't apply it to yourself yet. Because if you could apply this to yourself, you'd be jumping and shouting out your chair. Because when God anoints you to do something, you do not absolutely don't have to, don't keep seeking, looking for somebody to give you an ordination to validate your anointing. That is a fool's play, and only a fool would play with it. Only a fool goes into the church looking for somebody to make them a pastor, a deacon, a minister, a priest, a preacher, a prophet. Only a fool would do that. Because if you do that, you omitted the very fact that God is in charge.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Come on, come on, come on.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm be trying to tell them.
Only an unlearned servant would dare walk in that kind of thinking.
Well, yeah. What school did you graduate from? And before we give you an office, I don't need a school, brother. I just need to show you I ain't a fool.
Come
I
on.
Am a fool because God has made me wise. I understand what James is saying. When he said, if any man, he didn't say if somebody with an ordination. Come on, somebody. He didn't say if somebody with an ordination would seek wisdom and ask it of God, he'd give it to man liberally. He says, if any man, male, female, anthropology, the foundation of the word mankind, if anybody. I got to stop to say this. If you're still making a lot of mistakes, I guarantee you just ain't asked God for some wisdom yet.
Amen.
That's all that's missing. If any man, James, the second child, if any asks me for wisdom, let him seek it from God, because God gives it to me liberally. And it's the type of wisdom that upbraideth not. And it'll make nobody, you won't be ashamed of what you teach and how you teach it and what you do to help people. How you move with them. You won't have to worry about them coming back and saying your advice didn't work. That's what upbraiding means.
Come on.
Well, your advice didn't work. But if I gave you my wisdom, not God's, if I give you what I learned in the street, that'll backfire. When you came into the kingdom, this is why I'm saying you don't need papers. You don't need any of that mess. You're going to get it because anybody with any sight can see anointing when it's on somebody. Anybody with common sense can tell when God has shifted you into a place where you're not only usable, you're powerful.
Glory.
That's what
I'm
talking
about.
Amen. I'll be trying to tell them that now.
You trying to tell them? Keep telling them.
No,
keep
that's deep, though. All right. Amen. That's super dangerous.
I'll be trying to tell you, when you're appointed and anointed by God, ain't nobody got, I don't need you to validate me, nothing. Because God called
that's
me.
Why I stopped.
He anointed me and he appointed me. So I ain't got to ask
yes,
me.
Ma'am.
I don't have to go to school for knowledge, all of that. Get in the word, God will talk to you.
Yeah.
Man, listen, our Bible says in the book of Timothy, when a man seeks the office of a deacon, which is a transferable anointing, deacon, pastor, preacher, minister, believe it or not, the person that's on the door greeting you, the usher, That's an anointing. That's an anointed responsibility. It's evangelism on a different level. People at the door are supposed to greet you in a way that you go. If I didn't like the message, I'm coming back because that person at the door is just as wonderful. They would they even check to see if I needed prayer. If folks keep looking too much at the Old Testament, what did I say? The theme of this was Back to the Future. Folks keep looking too much at the Old Testament and want to be a high priest when you really need to be a high servant. Let me try that again. Too many people want to be a high priest when really your responsibility is to be a high-level servant to God.
serving all men, but not superior to any man. I can do you some good and don't need you to do good for me, because I can serve you and I don't need you to applaud me. I don't need you to put up any candles on the cake. I don't need you to go and tell anybody. I don't want a plaque. I don't want any wall mounts. I don't want my name on some award ceremony. What I want to do is hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And you can't give me that. Only God can. So therefore, you can't lift me up to let me down. You can't shift me and move me all around with compliments. You can't turn around and say, "Ooh, that man's so blessed. He said, no, I want to buy you this." No, buy it for yourself. If God want me to have it, I'll get it. You can't make it for me. You can't. If you really told you to get it, you would have got it and wouldn't have told me about it. Because every time you speak to me about what you will do for me, you're setting me up to serve you in a way that I'm subservient to you. Because the borrower always belongs to the lender.
Hello.
Anybody here? Just
no, sir.
Amen.
Glory.
Amen.
That part.
Because the borrower is always going to be subservient to the lender. Glory to God. So you don't. Hallelujah. So let's keep reading until we get this. So the first thing, first one is saying, Paul is saying to them, after all I've done, after all the things, the very fact that there's a church in Corinthians, I'm the one that brought it here, and now you want me to show you some papers. That's what he's saying to them. Do we begin to, again, to have to pat ourselves on the back, commend ourselves, prove ourselves to you, or need me as some other epistle, some kind of letter of a commendation to you, or letters of accommodation that's coming from you? You need to give me approval to be the man of God that turns you into the man of God. Hold on for a minute. You are the point. You are my epistle, written in my heart, known and read of all men. Other people see what happened after you got involved in this ministry, after we start teaching you about your God and your relationship and how it should work and so forth and so on. And that's important for many of us as believers, because the more you sit back and help folk, unless they get the spirit of humility on them, they'll go out and repeat everything you taught them, and they'll never have the humility and the honor to sit back and say that came from Brother Arnold, who, without him, I'd still be over in that mess that I was making. But that brother came and said a word. It shook my world, shook the foundation, and it made me look at things differently, and it changed me. And so what Paul is saying, you don't have to tell me what I did. I can look at you and tell what was done. That's what he's saying. Verse 3, for as much as you are the manifestly showing, declared to be the epistle of Christ yourself, ministered by us, it ain't like you got this on your own. We taught it to you, written not with ink, but with the spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ in Godward, because we don't need you to give us any permission. We already have permission. And it's through the permission we were given that your life has changed, altered, moved to another level. And now you want to step in front of me and not see any value in me and make me have to function like that religious mess that you used to be in. Now you want to take everything you've been taught and go back to the future. Anybody getting it? Glory to God. Back to the future. We're going backwards in time now. I need to show you my letters to show you that I had the right to bring you out of your blindness and that dead life that you were living. And now that you're out of it, now you want me to show you some letters. Somebody's done bewitched you. Right? Let's keep going. For as much as you are manifesting. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, like, how you're saying, like, you know, Paul is basically explaining, like, I don't need no special, like, you know, title or something, you know, for that. And you got to think, just like, you know, implying that, you know, how it is nowadays is that there's so many gatekeepers keeping true anointed people out of those, you know, positions and stuff like that because they didn't go to school or something. And it's like, I feel like that's messing up a lot of things nowadays is because of those gatekeepers, because they want to, you know, live in the Old Testament and want to be those high priests and stuff like that when it's not even like that. So.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. Does everybody agree with that? Everybody hear that?
Yeah.
I hear that, brother.
Yes.
Yes, sir. And that's one of the reasons why I stopped tagging Eric Thompson in my videos, too, from a lot of stuff that you're saying.
If I
got that anointing, why do I need to be verified by him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody needs, you don't need, what you need to do is self-verify. And here's self-verification. We know our scriptures because you get taught scripture at this church. You don't get taught theory. We know our scriptures. Here's what the scripture says. And the tree is known by the fruit it bears.
Come on.
Let me try it again. You shall know them because the tree is known by the fruit it bears. Now, here comes the opposite of it. I can claim to be anointed as as Elijah and Elisha. But if ain't nobody getting healed.
Come on.
If every 15, 20 minutes I'm in somebody's argument. If every 30 minutes I'm cussing somebody out. If every 2-3 hours I can't control my own soul. I don't have self-discipline. I don't have the integrity that I'm supposed to have. Then let me tell you why that's important. Because you can fake preaching, but you can't fake anointing.
No. And there is a difference. There is a difference.
Come on.
Amen.
You can fake preaching, though. All you got to do is learn the concept of preaching, 3 points in the conclusion, and know how to put together 3 or 4 scriptures and make some sense out of it. That's preaching for people. But anointing is different. This is why the Lord said to them, he said, I sent them out, talking about the apostles, the disciples, the men of God. And he said, I sent them out with what? Miracle signs and wonders following. Mm-hmm. Why? Mm-hmm. So you'd be able to see the fruit on the tree. And if there's no miracle signs and wonders following us, then there is no fruit on the tree. That's not an anointing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's not an anointing. And so, and so going back to what you said, absolutely, you don't need letters of a commendation. You just simply need the presence of an anointing. And the way to get a presence of an anointing is to recognize, I got to go through the hell in order to bring people out of it. Ain't no way in the world. I'm going to go into a house full of drug dealers and bring them out of being drug dealers. If God ain't delivered me from nothing. And all I did was sit in church all my life.
Come on.
In a way in the world. Can't do it. In fact, I'm going to be too scared to go in. That's why most churches don't go out there and walk with us when we go and walk. Why? They're too scared to do it. Let me try it again. And I'm being quite transparent, quite forward. They're scared of it. Why? Well, what happens if somebody comes out and says something I'm not equipped to handle? Well, when you anoint it, you're equipped to handle anything. That's the whole point.
That part.
When you anoint it, you can go into a den of prostitutes.
It ain't out you.
They may not all come out. But one or two of them will walk out with you going, sister, I don't know what you said, but man, it just hit me such a way. I've been trying to get out of this for so long. And whatever you said, it just hit me. It did something to me. It made me feel a certain way. This began to happen, and I could see myself following behind you. And that's what anointing is for. Anointing ain't for somebody to run around and put on a big robe and put a big crown on their head and walk around the church and say, praise the Lord, somebody give God some praise to give me some money. Let me try it again. Somebody give God some praise to give me some money. Get in that $500 line, get in the $300 line, you get over there in the $100 line, and when y'all get through, I'm going to release some anointing into your life. How foolish are we going to be as God's people? Right? How foolish are you going to be as one of God's very own people? Because in all reality, how do we sit back and say things like, what God has for me is for me, but we'll put $985 in somebody's offering plate because they promised an anointing. Oh, God. I probably shouldn't have went there, huh? I'm going to go there anyway.
No, you can't. Yeah. Go there. Go there.
No, go there. Speak the truth, Apostle. Speak the
truth. I can tell you right now, and I know I'll have at least one witness on this phone, at least one, maybe three. I can tell you right now, though, there's some folks on this phone right now. We're going to listen to TBN and listen to some extremely well-polished, cleverly disguised person that calls themselves a preacher because they got a MAGA church, and they'll say, we need to raise $45,000 so we can keep the television program going, so we can do this and we can do that and we can do this. And I know I got at least one witness on this phone. I don't know who it is, but I know you've done it already. And they'll say, and we need you to put an offer right now. We're going to pray over the screen. We're going to pray right on the screen. We're going to put our hands right on the screen while you're putting the offering in. And while you're putting the offering in, God is going to bless. I can feel the spirit of the Lord moving right now. I feel the glory of God moving in your life. All you got to do is put that offering through right now. Pick up the phone, call. Make that promise for $985. Put it on your credit card. Put it on your bank chart. Do whatever you got to do right now, because God is moving right now in this place. There's a spirit here. There's an anointing here. And you'll go do it.
They got the gift to get. That's
all. That's crazy.
And somebody
would run. It is. That's crazy.
It's not crazy. It's you don't know what the word says.
Hallelujah.
That's the crazy part. If you study to show yourself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why you got to be in the Bible. B-I-B-L-E.
Yeah, crazy was the wrong word.
You won't be led astray.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Amen.
You know,
that's what Ephesians says.
When I was coming up in the Lord, when I got saved, I was doing some of that stuff till I got in my Bible and
yes,
see
ma'am.
What Jesus had to say about it. And I quit doing
yes,
the
ma'am.
Whole. I ain't got to pay you for no anointing. I was anointed in God.
Hallelujah. And stay
Amen.
Right there. How do we dare sit back and say in the church what God has for you is for you, but the only way you're going to get it is if I release it? Not God.
Right.
If I release
no.
it. Think about this. And I'm not saying those men are not preachers. I'm not saying they're not called. I'm not saying that. I don't know those people. I don't have the right to say that. I wouldn't dare say it. What I am saying is if you put $985 through somebody's church service on television, and you got a church so anointed that you literally seen people's socks fall off of them in service, and you won't put $20 in that. You're devaluing the gift of God in order to value somebody with a silver tongue. Just because they're on television, just because they say they got the church with 5,000 people, you think to yourself, well, they must be really good at this. That must be God doing that. But let me make sure you're clear on this. I told you, if you don't get this tonight, if you don't receive this tonight, I will feel like I've lost value. But let me make this real clear. The devil gives gifts too.
Come on.
Amen.
Yep.
And if he didn't give gifts, no drug dealer would ever be on TV. If he didn't give gifts, Snoop Dogg would never be where he is. If he didn't give gifts, Ice Cube, Ice T, Funky T, TT, TTT, and all other T's that's been slipped through talking about killing, dugging, drugging, sell it, flip it, trip it, knowing that they're telling people to poison your community, kill your own babies, destroy your own neighborhood. But here you go. Now, 5 years later, after I made $5 million off of your believing in my foolishness, I'm sitting back up here talking about God bless y'all.
Yeah.
You didn't hear me, did you?
Phony.
And now they're standing on TV talking about God bless you. And then the next time you see them, they're in the movie and they're beating some woman to death and calling her every H, B, and C word that you could come up with. And then the next week you see them at an award going, God bless you. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here. Whose God are you talking about?
Come on, perfect.
You can't be talking about the God we're talking about. He didn't bless that. That's the that's their God. Mammon.
Amen.
Their God. Yep. Demons. Demonology. Right? So let me keep reading because we don't deep, and I'm sorry to have strayed off, but I think we just need to hear this.
You covered.
Thank you, Donna. Don't ever get yourself caught up. Paul is talking about in verse 1, our only papers of a commendation, let the proof be in the pudding. The tree is known by the fruit that it bears. I bear fruit. Look at yourself. Amen. Now you're coming back and ask me to show you some papers. And it's like I've been in the church for 15 years, and I asked, could I say something? And somebody asked me, well, what degree do you have before you speak? I don't think so.
Okay.
Everybody get it? Right, verse 3, for as much as you are manifestly declared, verse 3, as for as much as you have manifestly declared to be the very letter of Christ ministered by us, we did this, we see your change, we see what God has done in you. You weren't written with ink, we didn't put any, it's not done with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of your heart. It's been changed. Can't you tell? Don't you know what anointing does anyway? As such trust have we through God, through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient. We ain't taking any claim for it. That's all he said. We ain't taking claim for it in ourselves to think anything of ourselves like we so special. But we are sufficient. And we know that sufficiency came from God. That's what caused it to happen. Who also, have made us able ministers. The word minister means servant. It don't mean president. It don't mean vice president, first lady. We don't even have first lady in our church. But that's how you know you went back to the future. That's how we that's how you know you're slipping back into the future.
Okay.
You'll be calling titles, that brother over there is the armor bearer. Ain't no armor bearer in this Bible with no anointing. Ain't no such thing as an anointed armor bearer. It just don't work like that. If it ain't God ordained, it ain't God obtained. Those two things go together. If God didn't ordain it, you ain't gonna never obtain it. So don't let somebody give you some false hope and stick you in some bottle someplace and give you some title and have you walking around high and mighty thinking, no, let me be high and mighty by being low and mighty.
That's a kiss.
Come on, yes, sir, that part.
And so he goes on, he says, not that we pat ourselves on the back is sufficient to think that we did anything ourselves, but our sufficiency was in God. Verse 6, who also has made us able servants of the New Testament, not the old, the New Testament, right? Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killed. But the Spirit is giving us life. It's what's making me happy. It's what's keeping me in joy. It's keeping me from feeling all hemmed up and locked up and walking around acting like a phony old potato walking around with. You remember Mr. Potato, where you could put a nose on, you could put some eyes on and put some ears on Mr. Potato. And that's why you see so many Mr. Potato church heads. Because they got folks walking around and they're acting like they're high and mighty, like they learned something you ain't learned, like they're so much better than where you are. And my God, look at this and look at that. And really behind all that is a whole false sense of self-sufficiency.
That's all.
I probably didn't talk too much. Anyway.
Of
the New Testament, verse 7. But if the manifestation, if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones, if you thought the Ten Commandments, that's what he's talking about. Written and engraved in stones. He's talking about the Ten Commandments. The Decalogue is called. The Deca from the word 10. Decalogue. 10 logs. 10 commandments. If the ministration of death written and engraved in the stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses. Moses had anointing on him. The people, all they had was some brick. With some commands and some controls. Moses felt the presence and the power. You got to get this. He tried to tell you something. When Moses went on to the mountain, he had a relationship with God. When he came down from the mountain, they had a relationship with some tablets.
Come on.
And therefore, from the relationship that Moses had, then the high priests are formed out of it, And so only the high priest, because of the relationship understanding, could be behind the curtain and behind the veil. And so when Jesus Christ goes to the cross, the Bible says the minute he gave up the ghost, the cross, the veil got ripped. Ripped up. What does that mean? If you know what a kingdom functions like, if you wanted to go, if you go read the book of Esther, you'll recognize that even Esther, who was the wife of the king, couldn't go before the king unless the king pointed his scepter at her and said, you have permission to come before me. The veil was the scepter. And so now that the curtain is ripped, we all have the ability to go before our God. That's why we don't have to spend as much time having somebody pray for us when we can now go and pray for ourselves. I'll take all the prayer I can get, praise the Lord. I ain't talking about this. I'll take all the prayer anybody can give me, but praise the Lord. If I ain't praying for myself, I'm about the biggest dummy on the spiritual planet that God created. That's an idiot's way of thinking. Well, somebody needs to pray for me. No, you need to stop. No, you take your time. Go back in the spirit. Come out your own flesh. Quit worrying so much. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests known. Sit back and talk to God. Hey, you know what? I'm even angry right now, God. I don't know what to tell you. I'm a little ticked at you. I thought I was going to go like this. I thought I was going to go like that. I'm just a little messed up. In fact, I might not even go to church. I'm real angry right now and so forth and so on. But you better off doing that than walking through the door going, somebody pray for me. hope I made that plain and clear.
That's clear.
Because God wants you to have a relationship with him and grow in him. And how are you going to ever be anointed if you can't even believe in the fact that you can pray and talk to your Father?
Come on.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's a relationship.
How are you going to ever be there?
Yep.
If you never go there. I can't borrow money from the bank. If I'm sitting 10 miles away and won't walk through the door and sit down with the bank manager, can't do it. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll do it online. I'm sorry, but God has got an internet, but his don't work that way. You're going to have to get in his presence.
You have to do it online.
Hallelujah. And in fact, when you put those two things together, prayer is your online banking service.
Come on.
Prayer is your online banking service. As my wife used to say, it is the World Wide Web that's always been there. They just figured it out and put it into a computer, but it's always been there because I can sit back and talk to him from any place on the planet. I don't even have to open up my computer. All I have to do is open up my mouth and my heart.
That's it.
It is your World Wide Web. Worldwide way of praise the Lord. Let's keep going. I'm almost done. We're at 652. So let's where we end up on verse 7, I think it was the manifestation. Right? Verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be even more glorious than those 10 tablets, those 10 commandments on the tablet? The Spirit is even more glorious. 4, verse 9. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, because the tablets were condemnation. Why were they condemnation? Because the priest could forgive your sin, but you couldn't forgive yourself because you didn't have the relationship to do it. Now, condemnation stayed with the person even though the sin was forgiven. So they never changed. They never got better. Nothing ever changed in them because even though my sin was forgiven, my natural spirit that I was born into the world, it got structured by the people around me and the trouble I went through and the hell I saw and the life that I lived, and that got structured into me. And so who I was who I was. There was no change. So condemnation remained even when sin was gone. So if the ministration of condemnation was glory, much more does the ministration of righteousness exceed that glory. Verse 10, but even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect. In other words, in this way, by reason of the glory that now expels us into newness, going back to go to the future. No, just go to the future. For if that which is done, verse 11, done away with was glorious, much more that which remaineth is now glorious. Seeing that we have such hope, we can now talk with plainness of speech.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and not like Moses, who had to put a veil over his face because he understood what a relationship was. And the people could see he had a relationship. How many of you know people can see God in you?
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. You ain't got to say a word. Just walk in the room.
Walk in the room.
Right?
Be prayed up. Walk in the room and watch and see those people turn around and look and
Come
look
on.
Again and look again and go, something different about them.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Moses had to put a veil over his face to keep them from seeing that he had a relationship that they could not have. Because he had been in the presence of God himself. He was receiving that presence, the light, the glory. He's seeing all this, and he was like, I'm so full, I don't know what to tell you. And he went down there with the people, and they sit back trying to figure out how carnality can act like Moses when it wasn't Moses' carnality that made him special. Mm. It was Moses' spirituality because he had been in the presence of the Most Holy God.
Amen.
Can I bring that home for a second? That's why you should stop measuring your spirituality by other people's carnality, because that's
okay.
The opposite. And so you can't keep measuring how God sees you by the way people see you. That becomes me trying to become a people pleaser, and I want you so bad to see that God has a hold of my heart. He has a hold of my thought process. Then I'm trying hard to get you to see God in me. I want you to understand something. No believer should ever be that person. If they don't see it, your Bible says this. If they be blind, listen to it good. If they be blind, it is because the enemy of this world has blinded them, which means they ain't supposed to see you. They ain't supposed to feel that glory. There's a purpose for that, because God knows who he wants to work on, and the people that can see you are the people. How many of us have wasted time trying to get some folks to get saved, find the Lord, and so forth and so on, and then find yourself going someplace else into another area, another city, another whatever, and then somebody says something to you, say something to them, and they automatically get attracted to it, and other people that you've been around for years ain't gotten what you're talking about. That is because they've been blinded for a purpose, and you need to know the difference between the blind and the ones that God is calling, and you won't waste a lot of time on them. You still have to love them. You still want to plant a seed when you're in their presence, but you don't ever want to try to turn their presence into what you have in you, because they ain't ready for it. And what they end up doing, this is why the Bible says and talks about this, cast not your pearls before swine, because what will happen is they'll turn on you and run you over with it. It took me a little time to get that scripture and get the revelation, because I used to sit back and tell people, yeah, the Bible tells me I'm supposed to give to every man that asks. Well, I had a lot of people asking from that point. Soon as they found that out, they would go, okay, well, let me try that. Well, I need $50. Well, okay, yeah, the Bible told me to do it. I wasn't using any wisdom. Anybody get it? I wasn't using any wisdom. I was so busy trying to tell them what God was telling me. I was like, all I was doing was casting pearls.
That's all. And then you got to be careful, because you can get caught up in that.
You can get caught up, hurt. You can get turned away from God, from saying you need folks to do you. And
Help them and lead them to Christ, and then they don't want to listen to you, and they looking back on how you used to be, and I'll be like, okay, well, I'm finna shake the dust. I'm finna shake the dust. You don't want to hear
shake the dust.
I'm finna shake the dust. And
All right, can we finish up? We're at 6:58. Thank you, Sister Donna. So let's go to, let's finish this up real quick. 2 Corinthians, here we go. Verse 13, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was being abolished. But their minds were blinded for, see that? But their minds were blinded, but their minds were blinded. Their minds were blinded for until this day remaineth the same veil that hasn't been taken away when they get themselves caught up in the reading of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Which veil or power is done away with through Christ. So, am I supposed to read the Old Testament? Absolutely. Am I supposed to be trying to figure out how to follow that? It can't work anymore. Because if you go to the book, just as a quick point of reference, and I hope everybody writes this down, go read the book of Leviticus, please, and the book of Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
You'll see in the book of Leviticus, you'll see things like if a woman was suspected of cheating on her husband, they would go and make a dirt mixture with an anointed oil in it and some other stuff, and she had to drink that in order, when she drank, the priest had to give it to her, so she would drink it. Anybody see the movie Vikings? Not Vikings, what was the name of that thing with Uhtred in it, honey? What was the name of that? Was that Vikings? Fandor? The movie with Uhtred in it, was that Vikings? No, that's not Vikings. That's Seven Last Kingdoms. What was that? Something Kingdom. I'll find the name of it, but you have to see this movie because they actually show that particular thing being used in the church of that day, which was the Catholic Church. And somebody accused his wife, a king accused his wife, and he told the priest to go carry out the rite, and he went and used the book of Leviticus, and he gave her, made her this mixture of dirt, oil, and water, and made her drink it, was going to make her drink it. The Bible says if her stomach and her thighs puffed up, then she was an adulteress. Can you do that today? No. Do you need to do it today? No. Why? Because you need to come and realize you can't go back to go to the future. Why? Because now he gave you the spirit of discernment. You're supposed to be able to discern when somebody's cheating. You should be able to do it. It's in the air. It's in the atmosphere. Glory to God. You can tell when somebody's lying. You can discern it now. He gave you some gifts in order for you to live in the new and not live the new from the old. Am I saying anything? Am I teaching you anything? Am anybody getting this?
Amen.
So I don't have to use those Old Testament tools in order to get New Testament outcomes.
Result. Come on.
Hallelujah. And if you go to the book of Hebrews, let's read this one time and then we'll finish this up. I want you to see this, though, because you got to relate this to what your scripture is saying. It's Hebrews, I think the 7th chapter. The old. I'll give it to you exact in a minute, but we get it. Hebrews 8:7. Everybody go there, please. Let me know when you're there.
Hebrews 8:7.
What do you say about?
Yes, ma'am. Hebrews the 8th chapter, 7th verse.
Okay.
Hebrews 8:7.
Okay.
Got it? You got to say amen.
Amen.
I know everybody's there. All right. I got one amen.
Amen.
I got two amens. Everybody there?
Hebrews, what I was...
8th chapter?
8th chapter.
Yes, ma'am. 7th verse.
Okay, I'm there.
Look at what it says. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second covenant.
Yes, sir.
Back to the future. And too many people are going back trying to find a future in God. God gave you this new covenant so you could go forward and not worry about what was in the back.
Okay.
That is what the forgiveness of sin is. That is what the covering of the blood is about. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm okay. I don't have to go back to get to the future. All I need to do is repent.
Repent.
Let God know I don't, that was not my intention, Lord. But let me share something, and this is very important. If you can't repent, you'll stay in your past and never pass into your future. Because repentance is the bus ticket to your future.
Come on.
When a person can't see that they're sorry, then they're doomed to keep repeating the same mistakes. When a person can't see it's a mistake, they're not able to fix it.
That's right.
When I can see the mistake and don't feel sorry for them,
You say repentance is the bus ticket to your salvation?
To your future.
No,
your future. No, to your future.
That's the
In other words, for me to get beyond myself, I have to first be able to see myself, what's wrong, and then be able to ask for forgiveness for it. And even if I'm really wise, I want to try to recognize how this got in me.
Right.
No baby comes into the world prejudiced. No baby comes into the world a killer, a drug dealer. No baby comes into the world a thief. No baby comes into the world lying. No baby comes into the world. All the things that showed up in my life showed up through me interacting with some spirit somewhere that brought it on me. And then when it's like a cold. If you go around a whole bunch of people and you got COVID and you start coughing all over the room, everybody typically walks out and eventually catches COVID. When someone lies to you, they give you the disease, because the disease ends up hurting you, and one day you find out they lied, and you go, huh, they misused me and played me. And then you start thinking everybody's doing it, so you become the liar. You stop becoming a victim, and you start wanting to be a victimizer, because the victim part don't feel good.
Right.
Now watch where I'm getting ready to go. But when God saved you and brought you into his keep, yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add that some people, because it says forgive so that you may be forgiven. Some people have wronged other people and they think they can just go to Yah and ask for forgiveness. And that ain't how it works. That's a two-part thing. You must go to the person and get forgiveness from them first. They don't have to forgive you, but you have to do your part. And then go to the Most High and ask for forgiveness. So some people think they can cheat their way in or pass that. And that ain't how that part works when it comes to the true repentance and forgiveness, too. We have wronged some people, and we have to go back.
Everybody believe that?
Yes.
Do you? Is it scriptural? Is it?
I couldn't even hear
him.
I'm sorry.
Well, I know the part that says where you know, if you when you're going to present your offering to on the altar, if you got an ought against your brother or your sister, then you better leave that right there and go back and get it right with your sister or your brother. And then you come on back and do what you need to do.
He ain't accepting nothing.
That's scripture.
That's scripture all day long. Right?
Yes,
and it's actually even in the book of Leviticus, I think, which scripture talks about making amends. And you'll find it for you. Matthew, Colossians, there was each other, forgive one another. There's a scripture. I'll find it for you if you all want me to. But there was scripture in the Old Testament. They said if you took your brother's ox, return him too. If you stole it, and then make amends for that. If you lied to somebody, and you now are aware of the fact that that is not what God wanted, go make amends to the person. Go back and give them truth or pay them for it. It's really interesting.
Matter of fact,
it's very biblical, very scripture. Right, very biblical, and I think it's in Leviticus, right? I think it's in the 15th and 16th chapter. But let me finish this up so we can get out, because I've got us past 7:08, and I didn't mean to do that, but we just got sort of kind of hefty around here in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Good. I'm old school. It's good. Get good. It's like, you know, you don't want to quit.
Praise the Lord. Sister Hawana and I were talking about that. Sometimes the spirit kicks in. God is a timeless God. We can be on the phone for almost 2 months and not even realize, man, look how long we've been doing this. Till you get off. But that's just the spirit. That's what God is, timeless.
Yeah,
God doesn't function in time like we do.
No,
he
don't.
There's a thousand years, and a thousand years is just a baby. So anyway, he says, he talks about going back up under the veil. That was verse 13, put a veil over his face. I'm sorry, verse 15. Even today, even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is now put back upon their hearts. Talking about the law, right? The Deuteronomy law. Read Deuteronomy. You'll see it. 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil is now taken away. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's always going to be liberty. You'll be free, even as you're walking on yourself. You'll feel a sense of freedom under God. You'll feel a sense of, I ain't the best person in the world, but I know I'm not the worst anymore, and I don't have to hide me from everybody and put on a whole bunch of masks and pretend to be Joe or John or Mike or Bobby or somebody else. I can just be me. Because you begin to understand, just like Jesus, 50% of the world is going to love you even if you're a drug dealer, and 50% is going to hate you. And just like that, on the other side of this coin in the kingdom, I don't care how good you are, 50% of the people are going to hate your guts, and 50% of the people are going to see how anointed you are.
That's it.
And they did the same thing to Christ, so all it tells you is that it's already all right. Right? It's okay. I don't need to please anybody. I just need to be the best person I can be, and I need to be being that for God, my relationship with God. It ain't about my relationship with you, even though I hope it spills over to you. But if it don't spill, you don't get to kill.
Okay.
If I ain't what you want me to be, that ain't going to keep me from being what God has made me to be. Does that make sense?
Come on. Yeah,
Right. Now the spirit, now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Verse 18, but we all, here we go, but all of us, is what he's saying, with open face, meaning with no mask on, can behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and that we're being changed into the same image from glory
to glory,
even as by the spirit of the Lord. I ain't even changing me, and I see change. I hadn't even thought about what I'm becoming, but I'm becoming. I haven't sat back and tried to write down some specific plan to become this person or this man or this woman, but I'm becoming it. And it's proof that God is in your life, that he loves me, he cares for me, and I can kind of move on and move into the future instead of keep going back to find the future. There's no future in your past.
No.
There's no future in the old you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no future in that. The future is by moving forward with Christ, no matter how difficult it becomes, just like we were talking about Simon of Cyrene. It's a burden for the real people who love the Lord, especially black folks. It's a burden that we carry for the Lord. Other people don't carry it. There's a whole lot of folks in a lot of different denominations, in a lot of different churches, in a lot of different cultures, that they don't have any burden in the Lord. They just go to church. They drink as much as they want to drink. They commit as much fornication as they want to commit. They lie as much as they want to lie. There ain't no burden. Why? Because, hey, I think I'm covered by the blood. That's good enough for me. But a black person, a Simon person, there is a burden. I want to be the best I can be for Jesus. I want to give him the best of me. I gave the enemy the best. Now let me give him the best. And it becomes a burden. It becomes a hard walk, a difficult time, but a worthwhile.
It's a longer walk, but it's a good walk.
Praise the
Lord. It's a good walk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to have closing thoughts and comments. I know we put a lot into that Bible study. I hope it wasn't too much, but that's just the way the Lord led us. So closing comments and closing thoughts. And I'll start with Brother Arnold. Your thoughts, sir?
Yes, sir. I want to first say, man, I love you with the love of Christ because I'm the real. And that's why I rock with you and I be right there. And you know what I'm saying? Because you gonna speak the truth.
Yeah,
I mean, you do it sincerely in front of people. And I can feel that. You know what I'm saying? And I feel that in other brothers and sisters, you know what I'm saying? And that's the reason what you were saying earlier, you know, about just having a spirit of discernment and when you anoint it for real. You know, but man, it was such a blessing, man, and I found myself doing some of them things that you were talking about. You know what I mean? And I'm just trying to understand it all. I just really want to do it the right way, though. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I stand up under you. I know you're doing it the right way. Even if it's sometimes it hurts and it cuts. Like, man, you know what I'm saying? Okay, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? But it's like taking constructive criticism well, because if I didn't, it'd be like, where's my heart at? What are my real motives? You know what I'm saying? And that's what I look at. So I respect you for that. You know what I'm saying? And I try to imitate that as much as I can when I'm doing whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because you only as strong as your leader. You only as strong as the people that you're around. You know what I'm saying? So I take everything that you say, you know what I mean, and take it in consideration in the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm saying? But let me know also as well, you know what I mean? And on this journey, man, it's so many people that I feel like that just didn't pour it into me on top of me learning your teachings too, you know what I mean? And I always strive to say that, you know what I'm saying? Like how Eric Thompson, you know what I mean? I feel like, you know, they definitely played a major role in how I feel as well as yourself, you know what I'm saying? But I always got to take it back to the home team. And New Covenant is the home team. You know what I'm saying? That's where I get this knowledge. And I feel like sometimes I promote it too much to where it's like I'm almost like promoting people to come, and I always got to be mindful of that because I don't never want people to feel like, well, man, Brother Arnold just want people to come over there. Like, you know what I'm saying? But the proof is in the pudding, brother, regardless of if he might have said something that made a touch you, and you know what I'm saying? I feel like you speak the truth and people run away from that. So it's like, oh man, he said something today. Like, I ain't going back over there. They doing this, they doing that. I just see it in the spirit, though. I really don't say that.
Ready. Come on.
Yeah, and I love everybody, though. You know what I'm saying? But just like an apostle, I just want to get it right. And I just want to see souls being saved. You know what I'm saying? And man, man, I love you, man. For real, man. Hey, man, I ain't going to keep talking.
Love you too, my brother, and my spiritual son in the Lord. We're grateful for you. God bless. Yes, so let's go on to, I'm going to go to Brother Latif. Thank you, Arnold.
Hi, baby.
Latif Wilson.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah.
Closing thoughts.
Yeah, just,
and,
you know, you.
And closing comment.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just, you know, Bible study was really on fire, you know. Once again, like always, and, you know, just really getting that understanding of, you know, the world around us and, you know, understanding, you know, to keep moving forward. And it's just kind of like crazy because, you know, we all have the same spirit. So like every single time I'm talking on the phone, it's like we all, you know, it always resonates with, you know, what I'm going through right now. And just really getting that and understanding that, you know, anointing comes with, you know, all the stuff that we went through in our past and all that, and the things that we have conquered through God, that we'll be able to give that information to other people. Like my mother have stated a few days ago, it was, you know, the blueprint, you know, giving people the blueprint on how to get out of stuff, you know, and, you know, really understanding the schemes. And also at the same time too, stop looking at spiritual leaders, you know, just because they went to school for it, just because they read the Bible, just because they attend church service, which, you know, a lot of people do, just because they do these things, you know, does not make them anointed, does not, you know, make a lot of them aren't even anointed, you know, they're self-anointed, they're not even anointed to even do that. So just really understanding spiritual leaders and also increasing our discernment so that we can really look at these people and be like, you know, are you, you know, actually, you know, bearing the fruit? Because everything that you said tonight is just adding to our arsenal and giving us a better understanding on how to discern even more so that we can differentiate who's actually putting the information out and who is just, you know, kind of living in that fantasy instead of living in the reality that God puts us in. So, you know, I just want to say too, you know, just like Brother Arnold said, you know, I love all you guys and I'm thankful, you know, through God that, you know, I have all you guys, you know, in my life because we've all, like, you know, pushed each other and we've all, you know, made it down this path together and everything. And, you know, so, yeah, that's my closing.
That's a good closing. Thank you, Brother Latif.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go to, let's go to Sister Donna next.
Pastor, I'm just elated to be a part of, you know, your Bible class on Wednesday. I thank God for your daughter and the Lord, Angela. She me and her just connected when we met. You know, it was the anointing on her, and she has seen the anointing on me, and we just became sisters just like that. And that's how the anointing clicks. And so just listening to you, oh my God, I see you old school. I'm old school.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 73 years old. I've been in this thing for 50 some years. God got me when I was 22. So I've been in it a long time. And I'm not tired yet. I'm still going to run it because I know what the end going to be. I've read it. God told it to me. You know, and I love Bible classes like this because I went from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, which is how you're teaching, book by book. I got in it for myself. And my kids, they were like, Mama, he said, Daddy, you watch, looking at this little blue book, this little blue Bible you got. It was all tore up. But I was in it because I was searching, seeking. You know, laying on my face. God do it for you. I cried and snotted and everything else. But he got me. And I'm so glad that he did. I stand today because of Christ. Of all of the things that I have been through in my life, losing two children from gun violence, mama dying, four brothers, one poison. I've been through so much, but I give a God all the glory because, hey, I stand for him and him alone. For him I live and for him I die. That's it. I ain't going back. I don't care who cares. I don't care what nobody say. I thank you for saying the part that being anointed and appointed. I told Angela that today. I said, ain't nobody, did nobody validate me. They wanted to. Oh, well, when you gonna speak? I'm not speaking, you know. I'm not speaking because I got to have a piece of paper. No, I'm not speaking. No. I'm going to speak. I speak on the phone to the drug dealer or to the homeless person. I ain't got to sit down in a pulpit. I preach every day in my house.
Yes, ma'am.
I look in the mirror and I see who it is that I really need to be talking to. That's me. So when I do leave out, I know what I'm going to say.
I love this,
Pastor. I tell you, you old school. I just listen to you. I could listen to you all day.
Amen.
Glory to God.
I give good kudos to your wife because I know she be in. Boy, it is really good. And to the sisters and the brothers that's on the line, keep seeking, keep searching, keep listening, keep being hungry for the word.
Yes.
That's what's going to keep
glory.
The Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Now you got to have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Don't think you don't, because when them disciples was in that upper room, he said, look, you stay right there. You can't go out now. I need you to stay right there till you get it. And when the Holy Ghost came, with the fullness of God. They was all filled with the Holy Ghost on one accord.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, thank you so much for letting me intervene a little bit. I appreciate you.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Freeman. Let's go over to Sister Angela.
Hey, everybody. I enjoyed the service tonight. Well, not the service. The Bible study. Sorry about that.
Night study.
Yes. Yes. It's always yummy and delicious, and I get filled. Yes. So I just wanted to highlight and piggyback off of what my son and my sister Donna was saying. I had a conversation with them separately. But I was talking to them and I was sharing with them that I just love the spirit of the gift of discernment. I just love it because I was asked to preach on Sunday for the worship day in pink. And I said no. And the reason why I said no was because I know that I need to be doing the will of God. But the reason why I said no is because I know there's an evangelist within me. And if I was to get up there, probably I was telling Sister Donna, half of the church would get up and leave. And so I had told the church that, you know, I just wanted to, because I had to learn. I have to learn the stuff that I told them at a meeting last night. I said, I've come out of the conjugate church and I went into the church where I was in Madison and we allowed the Holy Spirit to have his way. And that went on for years. And then now I'm back in a church here in Janesville where they have different rules and regulations. And I was talking to Sister Donna today and she was like, yeah, you got to keep the rules of the house. And so, yeah. So when I was like, I need to know, you know, even with me hosting Sunday or whatever else, I still have to know. She sent me this thing that I have to read and all that. But anyways, make a long story short, discernment is a beautiful thing. And I've learned that when God shows you things or whatever, that he's showing you it for a reason. If it is an individual, that means to pray for them, not to talk about them, not to put them down or belittle them and all that other stuff. If it is a church collectively, then you can talk about what's going on in the church or whatever else. Because I've seen a lot in this church. And God is really showing me that you could be so brilliant in your preaching, in your teaching, and not have one speck of anointing. Because if it was an anointing, it would be people so convicted that they would run up to the altar, tear their clothes off, scream, start running around and all that other stuff, because that's what the word of God does. It's supposed to cut you down to the very marrow of your bone. And you don't see a lot of that going on in the church now. People are just there to get their ears tickled and they sing a song. So they can just say, I go to church every Sunday. So thank God for the gift of discernment.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Sister Andy. I'm going to go to Brother DeJuan real quick and then to Sister Hawanda, and she will also close us out in prayer. Brother DeJuan, any closing thoughts?
Let God's prayer line every day. Oh, it's every Wednesday. And my word is stay motivated. Stay motivated in the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Stay motivated in the Lord.
Amen.
That's right.
All right, man of God. Hallelujah. Anything else before we move to Sister Wanda?
It's always good. Always good prayer line. Yeah. Above study. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, DeJuan.
Welcome.
Yep. Praise the Lord. Sister Wanda, if you would be kind enough to do closing thoughts and closing prayer.
Yes, sir. I just want to say, as my other brothers and sisters said, that I love all of y'all. And I do want to say to the leader of New Covenant that it's a privilege. Mm-hmm. It's not only a privilege, it's an honor to show up for Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can show up to church on Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Where you can preach, but this is where we're being taught at. And I'm honored. Mm-hmm. I am overjoyed to show up every Wednesday, you know.
Hallelujah.
And I'm grateful for the seeds that's being sown through each one of us, that when we get an opportunity to even share, you know, what somebody may think is a little bit can be a lot to somebody else. So I'm grateful for everybody that's open to share and be vulnerable here on this line. And y'all testimonies, that's how we other people overcome. So just to encourage us all to keep on sharing and keep on growing and keep on showing up, because this is what the evidence of. And I do want to say, just going back to the word, he said, where the spirit of the Lord is, where the spirit of Yah is, there is liberty. And that's really how I choose a ministry. That's how I choose where I'm going to sit under. Because if there, his spirit ain't there, ain't no anointing. And it's the anointing that destroys you.
Amen.
Amen.
So as Hallelujah. We pray out, I just want to, as we get prepare our minds and our hearts to pray out, we just want to say thank you, Yah. We just want to honor you. We just want to lift you up. We just want to magnify you. We just want to tell you that you are more than amazing, that you are everything to us, and that we are nothing without you. We acknowledge that we are nothing but a filthy rag in this flesh, because you said no good thing dwells in this flesh. So I praise you, and I ask you to just continue to be with us, to lead us and guide us, that we deny our flesh daily, that we can walk in the spirit,
yes,
so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, so that we can walk in discernment, because we must be in your spirit to discern what's going on. So I thank you, hallelujah, for the word that went forth on today, and I thank you for every sharer of the word, and I thank you for everybody that's on this line and everybody that couldn't make it. I thank you, hallelujah, that we just come to stand in the gap for somebody that needs to be lifted up, for somebody that needs to be filled up where they feel torn down, for somebody that feels like their heart is breaking even right now. We stand in the gap for the sick and the afflicted, the lost, the lonely, and the hungry, and he told us to not forget about those who are locked away or the widows. So we just want to lift them all up for you. For somebody is grieving the loss of a loved one on today, and we just want to be mindful that it's not about us, but it's all about you and your people. Hallelujah. So I thank you for equipping us on today. I thank you that you have not given up on us. I thank you that we are yet still on the potter's wheel and allowing you to make us over, because we can choose to stay the same, or we could choose to change. Hallelujah. So that means that we can reject Holy Spirit if we want to, but there's no longer will he allow the wheat and the tares being separated. That's what's happening in this season. He's separating the wheat from the tares. He has allowed us to grow together and look like we playing the part, but he said recess is over. Playtime is over. Hallelujah. No longer, like Apostle said, will people be able to say, stand in this $300 line and play with his name. Hallelujah. How dare we?
Hallelujah.
How dare we? How dare we? So help us to receive conviction, that our lives will change after we be convicted of doing wrong to your people. Help us. I just want to call on you and ask for your help in every area of our life. I ask that you change us from the inside out, that we no longer are concerned about how we look to man, that we are only concerned about how we look to you, the one that can see everything and know everything, knowing that sin first starts in the mind. So I pray right now that you cleanse our mind, hallelujah, that you created us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, that we can present ourselves back to you faultless. Hallelujah, holy and acceptable in thy sight, because you said without holiness, no man can see Yah. So we desire to be holy, holy just like you, holy, hallelujah. And we thank you that the veil was torn. We thank you that the veil was torn, because that puts us on the other side of having another chance, because you paid it all. You did the ultimate sacrifice, and that left us with a choice, hallelujah, so that we don't have to die if we do something wrong one time, hallelujah. And we just want to let you know that we're grateful on today.
We're grateful for the ultimate sacrifice. We're grateful on today. And we don't take you for granted. We don't take your sacrifice for granted. And in that thing, we don't take your people for granted, for we are after souls. You said he that wins souls is wise. So help us to not focus on the people. Hallelujah, and see this thing in the spirit. This is a spiritual walk. We're having an earthly experience, but this is a spiritual walk. So help us to fight in the spirit, even on behalf of our brother, the one that looked like he don't like us, the one that looked like they turning us away. Help us to see the need of the people. Help us to not get caught up on the faces on today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So I just say thank you for everything that has went forth on today. I thank you for moving in our lives. I thank you for moving in our children and our children's life. And I thank you that you didn't stop there. I thank you that our neighbors are affected. And I decree and declare that the enemy will continue to be nervous by our presence. The enemy will continue to be nervous by our presence. And when we step in the room, not because of us, but because of who you are on the inside, that the enemy will be horrified, that he will flee, that he has no dominion, power, or victory over your people, and we are taking it back by force, hallelujah, according to your will for our life, hallelujah. So we're going to walk boldly, we're going to walk boldly to the throne, hallelujah, not being caught up in ourselves, but being caught up by Holy Spirit, hallelujah, the one that will lead us and guide us and direct us and teach us and hallelujah. I just want to say thank you. Just want to magnify you. Just want to lift you up. Just want to give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And I thank you for a divine covering from the leadership, hallelujah, of the house on down, a divine protection, hallelujah, a divine ordination, a divine transformation, hallelujah, a divine healing, a divine breakthrough, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we thank you for every breakdown, knowing that for when a breakdown happens, that we on the verge of breakthrough. So I thank you that we are breaking through every barrier that enemy has planted in our life, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And for that alone, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. These things we ask in your son, Yahshua HaMashiach's mighty name. So be it.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody give God a head clap, praise. We're going to exit. But not the presence. Keep the presence. God, you got a good God. You got a good God. And the burden is worth to carry. Glory to God.
It is.
And when we get it, you'll take the burden that he had you carry, and you'll give it back to him, and you'll be free as a bird. Glory to God. You'll have a whole lot of joy in the Lord. Yeah. So I love you all. I'll see everyone next Wednesday at 5:30. Again, if you need to go back and listen or want to go and rehear what we talked about tonight, it is on the website at New Covenant Church of Christ. Mm-hmm. The website address is NCCC, N with three C's, Madison.com. NCCC, Madison.com is a website there. You'll find their audio files. This will load up to the website in approximately one day. Love you all with the love of Christ. Everybody, be the blessing and watch your blessings flow.
Hallelujah.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Love you all.
Love you all.
Love you all. Thank you.